Linda Ericetto was a college chemistry major from Pittsburgh who took a master's degree in forensic chemistry and made a career of it. 27 years ago, she went west. She works in a municipal office park, a cluster of one-story buildings of the sort that's neither quite urban nor quite suburban. On her office bookshelf, chemistry texts and the physician's desk reference share space with Patricia Cornwell novels. She has made a satisfying career, she told us, but she didn't see her job as one that millions of Americans would find riveting entertainment. So a few years ago, she was surprised to hear from a television producer who was thinking of a series based on her workplace.
I thought, he's crazy. Who's going to watch this show? But that just shows what I know about the American public.
Linda Ericetto directs the forensics lab of the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police. The TV producer was named Anthony Zeiker, and the program he created, along with its Miami-based spin-off, is so popular that CSI is now what makes CBS profitable. CSI, Crime Scene Investigation, the fictional version, is a place where crime-busting polymaths and modern science make Sherlock Holmes look like just another gumshoe with a hunch.
Welcome to Forensics. Gil Grissom. I'm your supervisor on Graveyard.
Actor William Peterson's character does things on Thursday nights that describe the work of no individual in Las Vegas forensics. But we figure Linda Ericetto, the lab director, is as close as it gets to a real-life Gil Grissom in Las Vegas. And we wondered, how close is it? The answer, not very.
No gunshot wounds. No stab marks, no signs of strangulation.
It's a long way out in the sticks, just to drop dead.
Grissom's fictional team works both in the field, at a crime scene that could be a long way out in the sticks, and in the lab.
Fire up that gas chromatograph mass spectrometer thing, will you?
No problem, sir. 15 seconds till pay dirt.
Cool.
Haven't seen this stuff for a while.
What's that?
Jimson weed.
In real life, the crime scene investigation and the lab work are handled by two different offices, and neither of those offices questions suspects or makes arrest. Linda Ericetto's laboratory does use gas chromatograph mass spectrometry, but that 15-second analysis?
No. You'd probably have to extract it and do things of that. There's prep work that they're not showing you that could be tedious. And certainly, a run on a gas chromatograph mass spectrometer is going to take a certain amount of time, depending upon what you're looking for. You know, some runs are faster than others, and it's not exactly the way it looks on TV.
List came back for the test on aluminum products from our kid in the desert, fireworks.
That's where Bobby Taylor works.
We've had cases where we sent metal shavings back to the FBI for analysis. It's not fruitful for, as a lab director, for me to look at keeping the expertise level of people on staff. For example, explosives cases. We haven't seen a lot of explosive cases, so we rely on people who see a lot of explosive cases and have an expertise in that area, and we would use their services in those unusual situations where we need that.
I found a bite mark on Bobby's arm, and I think it might be human. I need a mold of Eric's teeth and an impression of Bobby's arm.
That's the world of the forensic odontologist. And that doesn't happen in this laboratory, but someone who has special training in forensic odontology would do that kind of work. It's not going to happen in a period of, you know, what, maybe 30 seconds or a minute.
And those dark rooms where TV's forensic scientists examine the evidence.
Obviously, it's not going to be a dark office place or dark laboratory in the real world. But, you know, they're after an edginess. But it's not like that in real life.
Some of the differences between CSI on television and the real-life crime lab are sheer dramatic license, like the dark rooms and the telescoping of time. A real-life wait of 6 weeks for a DNA analysis would limit a TV show to about a half a dozen murders a season. But there does seem to be one consistent difference between CSI's fictional forensic science and real life that says something about our understanding of lab science. On the TV show, individuals have specialties. Gil Grissom is an entomologist. But everyone is a Renaissance man, capable of taking some bullet fragment with a bug on it, doing the lab work, and cracking the case. In real life, forensic scientists are highly specialized. One criminalist may spend most of the week testing blood and urine samples for evidence in drunk driving cases, or testing a bottle full of seized pills to see if they're controlled substances, as some Las Vegas police officers suspected, or just a bunch of over-the-counter medications. Another staffer may work only on fingerprints. Which isn't to say that there's no exotic work going on.
My name is Jimmy Smith. I'm a forensic document examiner.
Mr. Smith, a former police officer, can keep you spellbound with stories about matching documents with printers, and before that with typewriters. He has published in his field, and he is evidently the reigning expert on IBM Selectric typewriter balls and the signature imperfections that can link a specific ball to a specific hold-up note.
We know that on a ball element-type typewriter, that the ball turns to the right for uppercase letters, turns to the left for lowercase letters.
Mr. Smith said we were unlucky to have missed his office mate. He says she is the country's leading expert on rubber stamps. There is so much specialized information inside the lab and on the outside at the FBI or local universities. Forensic science is a much more complex, collaborative, bureaucratic business than a single eureka moment in primetime TV would imply. Lab director Linda Aricetto says she told that to CSI's creator Anthony Zeiker when he sought her advice.
I think that is a criticism of the show, that we don't go out and interview suspects or, you know, show up in the interview room and take this, you know, really lead role in that part of the whole criminal justice process. But when I mentioned it to him, and he made a very good point, well, if we didn't kind of combine these things, it would just be just another cop show. And obviously, it's not just another cop show because number one rated drama. I mean, 25 or 23 million people are tuning into this every week.
In addition to the comparisons, bullets and cartridge cases, we also do things like restoring serial numbers that are obliterated.
Tory Johnson is less forgiving. He's in charge of firearms at the lab. His turf includes a reference collection of guns, hundreds of models, Saturday night specials, a South African police rifle, an engraved super expensive German rifle.
We might look at one of these guns to see if it see where the serial numbers are located, see what style numbers they are, see how many characters and numbers there are in the number. We may look at them for parts to compare.
As for the televised version of his workplace?
CSI? Mm-hmm. Well, I've watched it maybe two and a half times, and I can't take it. I shut it off. There's too many inaccuracies, and it frustrates me to see them sort of portraying these things as though they might be factual when, in fact, they are extremely far from the truth. It's just offensive, I guess.
So not accurate enough.
I would say that's an understatement. I also am concerned about the effect that it has on potential jurors, and people go in having seen this, thinking that it's based in truth, and then they see what really happens, and there's not all these sort of magical tests. Computers don't put in a fingerprint and generate a picture of the defendant and his address and all that, and they're somewhat disappointed, and it may even actually color their evaluation of a case.
Several people at the Las Vegas Crime Lab voiced that very concern, that jurors might vote unreasonably to acquit just because real life doesn't live up to expectations. Expectations learned from Gil Grissom's Crime Lab on television.
This Ethan was selling Jimson weed tea at the Desert Rave. I believe Eric drank the most toxic part, the dregs, the bottom of the batch, part that's full of seeds.
Well, if that's true, then we might be able to catch up with some of those seeds because they have a way of hanging around the lower intestinal tract. And the last ones to leave the party would be right about here.